Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Welcome to another episode of the Go Get That podcast, episode 68. We are recapping the Sony Open as well as giving our thoughts on the upcoming American Express, which Jordan Spieth will not be playing in this week. Back on my normal computer, I finally got a webcam to go along. I think it's pretty nice. As much as we would like to not talk about what just happened last week, we will do so. He is the third player in 6 years to go from first round leader to miss cut. The good old Keegan Bradley at the Valspar a while ago. I'm really not too worried. It was just kind of one of those rounds that wasn't too great. Well, I want to hear what your Dan and Jordan's thoughts are, because I made it pretty clear I wasn't too flustered with what happened, but it just sucks. I mean, very winnable week, very winnable score. But yeah.
So first off, to those that are actually watching us, we are the Hat Squad. We're not just the Go Get That podcast. We are the Jordan Spieth Adjustable Hat Squad. Bob with the navy, me in the black. Well, me in the black and gray. Dan with the black and the red tag. So. If you are watching, you get to see that lovely sight. But yeah. Into what's actually
maybe,
important.
Maybe someday an Under Armour sponsorship will come our way, you know?
We never know. But Sony Open, he is who we thought he is. And that is not an elite player at the moment. You cannot shoot. I mean, I'll agree with Bob, long term, not really worried, but you just you can't shoot 75. And lose five strokes to the field and somehow be an elite player. You just can't do that. I mean, you gotta, you know, grind out 72. He shoots 72. He's still got a chance to win the tournament, especially as we saw the winning score was Siwoo Kim won at,
I think it was 18.
18. So if Jordan just shoots 72, he's at four under.
Yeah.
14 under through three rounds is very attainable, especially after a six under on Thursday. So just bad. We got to see him play six rounds because he missed the cut. Unbelievable. But so we got a mixed bag, to say the least. We got three pretty good rounds, one maybe so-so, and then two that were just really bad. So I guess it could have been worse for the 2 week stretch, but you got to find a way to at least get into the weekend, especially because he would have had a chance to make noise at Sony.
Yeah. I was just going to say, Sony's like it's an interesting place because it seems like when it goes south, it can go south pretty quickly. But when you get it rolling, you can go shoot 64 or 63. And it wasn't as easy as people thought it might play, which I thought was good. And a good job by the course and their superintendents and all the people that manage it to make it play a little bit more difficult, even though the winner was still 18 under, so obviously not that difficult. But I think a lot of people were thinking 22, 24 under. Yeah, it just kind of went sideways on Friday. I think I have a broader theory about that, but I'll let Bob chime in with whatever he was going to add there a second ago.
I just wanted to say, yeah, I mean, it was definitely a weird stop. First time we've seen him play since 2019, and he's skipping Torrey. I would not have been shocked if he had committed to Torrey or the Amex, that Friday. But he seems pretty clear cut on his schedule, so that's good. The thing that frustrates me the most about the 75 is I don't really know where it went wrong. I don't really have a reason as to why that 75 was a 75. A lot of it was just like, the thing that makes me not so nervous is the fact that a lot of the shots were just like bad golf shots that he's not going to hit on a normal day. Like that shot on 9 where he was right in the penalty area and he almost put it out of bounds to the left. Like, that's just kind of a sign that it's not really your day. But again, the putter's still a little like up in the air. Like, I really don't know what to think about it. He putted really well on Thursday, and I mean, can't putt that well if you shoot 75. But still, I think it's very up in the air. I think Pebble Beach will be very telling because it's always good. We talked about this last year. It's top 3 course that he plays all year, and it'll be very telling as to where his game's at, whereas the Sony and Kapalua might not have. So it'll be interesting to see as we go forward, but we got a few weeks off, so we'll see.
Yeah, I have mentioned this little theory about what happened Friday. And I think it was just he talked a little bit in his pressers about how Saturday and Sunday at Kapalua didn't go so well, partly because he just made bad decisions, and he was kind of throwing some ideas out there for why that could have been. And he said one of the reasons he kind of brought up was he hadn't been in contention in a while. And so going from first round leader on Thursday to then playing the first 8 holes in 1 over made me think that on 9, he tried to force everything. Like off the tee, he tried to play a big draw to roll it past the bunker, try and pick up the shot he just dropped on 8, maybe get another one back with an eagle, forces it into the, it goes in the penalty area, forces it on the next shot, ends up with bogey. 10, tried to force it, make birdie instead of just giving himself 15 feet out of the bunker, tried to give it 2 feet and make the birdie that way. 11, just bad swing. And then from there, it was just took driver when he probably shouldn't have. He tried to push it way down there on a couple holes. And to me, I was just like there was just more bad decisions, just being overly aggressive and trying to get everything back in a couple holes to put himself, you know, near the top of the lead instead of just playing for, like, if he takes a deep breath after 8, plays 9 the way it should be played, plays 10 the way it should be played, you know, it just kind of plays in. If he shoots a 70, that's fine. You're not out of the tournament. It's just I think he had a mindset of 65, and when it was 1 over through 8, it was like, shoot, I got to go, and the engine just didn't turn on, and he went in reverse. So we'll see. I think there's definitely some sense of, like, just needs to, like, calm down because the tournament, you know, it's not running away from him on a Friday. But he acted like it was on Friday.
Yeah, that's a very fair argument. I don't really disagree with anything. You know, definitely some course management issues again. Each bad swing off the tee cost him, which was kind of unlucky to have those swings on those holes. 9, 2-shot swing, because birdie's easy to make there. And then, was it 3, where he hooked it into the water?
Maybe 2.
2. They're like the same hole. It's dumb. They both have water down the left side. But yeah, 2, hooks it in the water, drops the shot there. Just untimely swings. Talking about I know Bob mentioned the putter, still not sure of it. If you do the math, he gained 3.5 shots in round 1 and he lost 1.37 in round 2. You add that up, that's still plus 1.06, which
that tells me good things.
I mean, the good is, you know, better than the bad this year, and he's got some good putting rounds in him, and I mean, you can't complain at all at him gaining strokes with the putter.
If his 75s are due to, if his 75s are due to him only losing 1.5 shots on the green, then that tells me that it was just, he just didn't have his stuff with his swing that day, especially considering it followed a 64.
Yeah.
It's not like he went 76, 76 and kind of putted well. Well, he went having a really good day to just not having his stuff. So I'm not really that flustered about it.
Another tidbit about the putter, it felt like Friday he left everything, what, 2 inches short, but right in the jar. So it's like, all right, well, it's great to see that he was reading putts well, because we talked about going into the Sony that 5 and 6 footers are out there flatter. They're easier to read. There's not as much break in them. And he still holed a pretty good amount of them. And the ones he didn't hole, he was leaving right in the center of the cup, just not hitting them. Like four out of like a 6-hole stretch, right, Jordan? It was like every putt was 2 inches short. And he just couldn't seem to hit it hard enough, which is a problem within itself. But if you flip it and look for the positives, it means, yeah, he's reading the greens pretty well. And that's a good sign, because I think at times last year, obviously the putter was atrocious. It was just everything. Stroke, confidence, trusting the read, and reading the greens was a big part of that. And I think he read the greens really well at Sony. He just didn't hit them. Right, there was just a lack of,
yeah,
just an extra 5 inches of pace, and he makes a lot more putts, and he makes the cut for sure. Last week,
it's funny that you mentioned reading the greens, because the broadcast mentioned this multiple times. He was asking Mr. Michael Greller for help on the reads multiple times, and not that this is a surprise, but Michael Greller knows how to read greens. Because a lot of the times Jordan was asking for feedback, Jordan was either A, leaving them short right in the cup, or making them. It'll be very, very interesting. And again, like the Hawaii switch is Hawaii stretch. Thank you. It's cool and all, but it's only 2 weeks in a row. So again, it's tough for us to sit here and make like bold statements. But when he gets back, and he mentioned this, you know, they asked him if he was going to switch the schedule around since he missed the cut. When he gets back at Pebble, that's 7 out of 8.
Yeah.
I mean, we're really going to be able to get a feel then.
But
it'll be really interesting to see if he continues to lean on Michael on the greens as well.
It's 7 out of 8 and like, what, 10 out of 12, including the Masters?
That would seem about right.
Like, I think there's only 2 weeks off after once he plays Pebble. There's 2 weeks off before Augusta.
Are you including, Honda, go ahead.
The Honda and the Valspar, I think.
It could be, well, no, what am I thinking? I was about to say Quail Hollow, that's in May. Losing it for a second here.
But so it's go time after this, right? And obviously there will be some building towards the ultimate prize. No, not the players, the Masters. Yeah, so some things of encouragement. And like Bob said, the 64 on Thursday was about as good as it gets, right? It should have been that 63 because he couldn't make a birdie on 9, played that hole in 1 over for whatever reason. But drove it great, hit the irons great, made putts, made big 8-footers for par for momentum. It was just almost like the perfect round of golf for Spieth, because he's got to have a bogey at some point. And then Friday bogey was the opposite.
Bogey free rounds don't exist.
Yeah.
Holy moly. So,
mixed bag for sure, but 2 weeks off. And after missed cuts, he's very good, especially when the time off isn't like there's not a lot of time off, and now there's only
That's
2 weeks.
Really good to hear, because Pebble is one of the weeks that we always look to where it's like, all right, this is a 1 or 2 top chance to win this year. So hopefully he can come out firing. I'd love to see him throw out a really low 60 on Thursday, because obviously that gets the ball rolling and he plays those courses so well. So, yeah.
I mean, speaking of low 60s, got to give him credit. Last year it was a mess in first rounds. He's 2 for 2 and playing well in first rounds this year.
That's a good point.
Which is really nice. And just because I'm looking right now, round 1 at the Sony Open – he did not have a putting performance that good all of 2021. He did not have a single round putted.
2022.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm losing it again here. Rough day. But yeah, he didn't have a single round in 2022 where he putted better than he did round 1 at Sony. So that's, an incredible sign that he's going to have rounds this year, I think, where he's going to make a lot of putts.
Yeah.
And not need to rely on hitting a bunch of darts every round. So,
and given that Sony had been a round where he had lost, what, 12 strokes in 3 appearances there, that's encouraging to say the least. I had a thought about Pebble, but I forgot it. So I don't know if you guys have any more Sony thoughts.
I mean, this was never going to be that much of a... I guess just talking about the tournament in general.
It was a weird week.
I read somewhere where like the leaderboard really showed the difference between an elevated event and a...
Yeah.
Kyle, that was Kyle's tweet, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably, yeah.
It was either Kyle or Rappaport. It was one of those two.
I recall making a comment on that tweet saying, well, if Jordan Spieth wouldn't have, you know, crapped his pants on Friday, we wouldn't have had, you know. We could have had a big name in the final pairing on Sunday. But, I mean, it's not a bad thing, I guess. You know, yeah. Kyle kind of mentioned it's, you know, having these events where your big names are always in the same picture, at, like these big elevated events. I mean, I think that's what a casual, you know, fan wants. They want, yeah. you know, they want Jordan Spieth in the mix on a Sunday. And this is no offense to Siwoo Kim, but I mean, there's a reason people watch the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. There's a reason people are on Easter watching the RBC Heritage last year. People want the names, so.
Yeah. Right, and they'll get more of that at those elevated events, whether it's, you know, Rory or Rahm or anybody else playing really good golf, right? Those guys, there'll be a lot of them. So in theory, some of them have to play well. The Amex actually has a ton of good names. I think it's 5 of the top 10 and 10 of the top 20 are playing the American Express, which is crazy to think about. But I do think these like non-elevated events have, it's a good chance for guys that aren't considered elite or in the elevated status of the tour to kind of put their name into that basket for a couple months or the season or whatever it is. So props to Siwoo for winning a tournament that, if you look at the field and you look at the guys who made the cut, Siwoo is one of the bigger names there, even for casuals. If they don't know a ton about the guys there, like Siwoo would be one guy that they might have heard of.
Yeah.
So props to him for winning a tournament that, given the names, he probably should have won, or at least had a better chance to win in theory. And I'm trying to think of other like little tidbits. There was a weird, it was just like the third and fourth round, I felt like you had all these new guys and they kind of separated a little bit. And then nobody like put their foot on the gas except for Siwoo. And I think that's a common theme, and that's what makes the better guys better, is that their foot on the gas goes, or they put their foot on the gas on Sunday. Because I was watching my man Ben Taylor, who by the way got top Euro, set that hit. But I think he made 2 birdies on Sunday, and he just didn't putt that well, and he putted well for the week, but not Sunday. And for a guy like him, or David Lipsky or Hayden Buckley, like making putts on Sunday is a big deal, and they just couldn't quite break through. But plenty of chances ahead, I assume. And yeah. Those are kind of my Sony Open thoughts.
Yeah, well, even looking ahead to the Amex, I mean, there's a decent field there too, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the Amex is a great field.
And like, that's a weird tournament that, you know, I'm such a huge fan of that main course. I don't know why they don't just play the entire tournament on it, because the other three courses really take away from the tournament, in my opinion. I'm sure that will get an elevated event at some point down the road.
I never quite understood the Amex, but I think it's a like kind of like Pebble Beach, and that it's a pro-am. Like, I know the guys play in twos, pairs. So I think they play with other people, and that's why they get those courses in there.
That makes sense, yeah.
Even though they don't call it a pro-am. So, yeah, that's why some of the courses play really easy, because they have to be reachable and the pins have to be in slightly easier spots for the amateurs. Which is why you always get lower scores. First round leaders are usually 8 or 9 under, winners about 22. And you get long shots mostly because none of the big names play, but that might not be the case this week. So it might actually be kind of a cool watch on Saturday and Sunday.
Never know. But yeah, I mean, we all went in the green last week, didn't we?
I was in the not red.
The neutral for Dan. The neutral.
The neutral.
The break even for Dan.
Yeah.
Do we want to recap that real quick?
I will absolutely start. I mean, I guaranteed winners last week, and I came through with my Connors backdoor top 20 and Montgomery, who's just such a wag into top 20. I mean, he's a non-negotiable when it's those mid placements. So I was very pleased with my performance. Unfortunately, picked the wrong Kim to win. But went up 41 points, so we're down to minus 59. I'm surprised I'm still in last, so the ladder is still in full effect, but we'll continue with those guaranteed winners this week. So yeah,
that Connor's top 20 was nice because he was what, like
T58 at some point on Saturday.
Yeah, so he really picked it up and locked it up.
He shot 5 under on Sunday, which is
pretty early on Sunday, which
much
is nice.
Appreciated.
Yeah. And Montgomery, like you said, is a wagon. I know Elise had Montgomery top 20. She's like, yeah, I just play this all the time. So,
oh, and I'm playing it again this week, in fact.
Yeah.
Until it loses, since he's become a member, he's 7 of 8 top 20. So,
wow. Little spoiler alert there, I guess. I mentioned my win, Ben Taylor, top Euro, 10 to win 100. I mean, I was looking for a random play, and I just looked at his name and thought, let me see what this guy's done. Good stuff on Data Golf, so I went ahead and played it. Like I said, if he had made some putts on Sunday, he would have had a chance. He finished 4 back, but 3-putted once, and I think he missed like 4 or 5 putts inside of 20 feet for birdie, so... You know, if he gets hot, maybe he wins that tournament. My other plays did not hit. Tom Kim did not win. Webb Simpson did not win. Hoagie was not close to a top 10, and Svensson wasn't close to a top 20. But thankfully, Ben Taylor came through in the clutch, got me back to neutral or even for the week. So a little foreshadowing. I will be going back to the wells that I have gone to so far. So I'll get into that more in a second. But
so the breadwinner here, 2 for 2 weeks in the green. Not as green as Bob was this week, but I did pick some winners and I made everyone some money if you tailed me. So I had Corey Connors to win. Obviously didn't happen. Got a little too frisky there. Should have went with the top 20, but did not. Alex Smalley did not win. The old man, though, Matt Kuchar with
that
the
was
top 40.
Like that was a snipe.
He's a Sony Open merchant. A Sony Open merchant. Webb Simpson did not top 40. I really thought he needed to have a good week. It might be another rough year for Webb. And I was really, really, really happy to hit the Mackenzie Hughes to miss cut. I like those bets a lot. I think if you do some research on course fits and how certain guys fit each course history, how they play there, there's money to be made. I'm not going to that well this week just because there's 3 courses. But thank you, Mackenzie, because Mackenzie Hughes does not miss cut. I'm in the red this week. So thank you, Mackenzie Hughes, for having the weekend off and putting me in the green.
Yeah, he was a lock on Friday, too. Like, he was over par the whole week. The Kuchar, he was on featured groups before Spieth teed off on Thursday.
He was struggling at first.
He was 3 over through 3. And I was like, oh, boy, is he even going to buy? I think he, 6 under Saturday or Sunday or something? 64 on the weekend, I think, to get him back into that range. And then
when Cooch is making birdie putts and the crowd is yelling Cooch, like that energizes him. He gets it going, man.
Yeah. He apparently he had been playing really well. That's what had been circulating on Twitter. So
that's just a Kuchar course. Like Kisner's the same way. Yeah. Like Bob knows there's certain dudes at certain courses that you just gotta.
Why do you think?
Well, I guess not anymore. But like the Harold Varners at Harbortown, the Charlie Hoffmans at TPC San Antonio. It's just
Cage Lee at Craig Ranch.
Cage Lee at any TPC course.
Yeah.
That's about accurate.
It's just that. I would love to start us off in the new week's bets.
Go ahead.
Well, you are at the bottom, so go ahead.
So I'm going with 5 this week. I'm stacking the board this week with 2 winners, and that's because I'm going to go with my actual winner, like who I think is going to win, and that's Taylor Montgomery. Put 10 on him to win 460. And I'm also going to go to my favorite long shot of the week, because as people might know, this is a week where long shots have a very good history. Last year, you could get a Hudson Swafford. It was Hudson Swafford, right?
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
You could get a Hudson Swafford ticket up to 280-1 last year. And he was able to win. So, yeah, I really like that pick. It's usually not a favorites week. So I'm going to go with Mark Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you like Mr. Hubbard, can I ask?
It's a mostly course history.
Yeah.
He has not been playing very well recently. It was between him and Will Gordon.
Okay.
But I decided to go for the value.
He putts here. He putts well here.
Yeah. It's a putting pick. Because as we know, it's a putting competition, as Mr. Ron J. Hamm would say. And because of that, I'm for my trusty top 40. I'm going to Denny McCarthy, who is one of the best players on tour. I got him plus 120, 40 to win 88. So that's my big play of the week. I for people who have been following, I usually have one big play that usually gets me back to at least even if it hits. So that's my play this week. I'm going back to the trusty Montgomery top 20, 20 to win 50 plus 150. I like that as well. And then this one's a little interesting. Last year, this tournament was the start of a 5-week stretch where I took Ricky Fowler to miss cut. And that went 4-for-5 last year. Yikes. But this is a new year. And I believe Mr. Flower will be a new man with Mr. Butch Harmon. So I am taking Ricky Fowler to make the cut this year at even money. I've seen it like minus 150 in some spots. So definitely good value there if you get on Bet Rivers. So I'm going to trust my gut. I'm not going to spoil, but I do see Ricky Fowler elsewhere on this board from someone. So I'm not alone, but rounding it out will be 20 on Mr. Fowler to make the cut. So yeah.
Yeah, I was.
And those are once again guaranteed winners stamped by Blute. So yeah, just don't read the fine print.
I was looking at Fowler. So I guess there's your spoiler. But just didn't feel like playing him this week. But everything that we've heard about Ricky has been positive about the swing. People are saying the Tillery block is gone, which is good for Ricky Fowler tracker and Fowler fans and golf fans in general. But, okay, my card, I know I said earlier that I'm going back to wells that I've dipped into earlier this year, and I'm riding Tom Kim this week. I thought it was his week last week. Everybody thought it was his week last week, and he missed the cut. But the way in which he missed the cut was encouraging for golf nerds like me, in the sense that he lost like 4 strokes putting in 2 days.
He does bounce back pretty well, doesn't he?
He's a good
which
putter.
Is impressive. So I have him to win. I got it at 20-1. So 10-1, 210 there. And I know it's a long shot course, but I think I mentioned it earlier. 5 of the top 10, 10 of the top 20 are here in the world. So I think, and that's different than what it's been before. So I think a little bit more pressure on some of the other guys, and you'll see a bigger name rise to the top. I think it could be Tom Kim, because he's always at the top these days.
He is a stud.
And I expect the putter to bounce back. And the ball striking's been good for a while now. So I have him to win, but then I've also, I don't know if you call it hedging or whatever, but I have him to top 20 as well. Because if he doesn't win,
that would not be a hedge. A hedge would be putting tons of money on him to top 40 and then putting a little bit of money on him to miss cut.
Okay.
I'd call that a double down, actually.
Okay. So I'm doubling down on Tom Kim then. If he doesn't win, he's going to be inside the top 20. His name will be on the leaderboard on Saturday and Sunday. I refuse to believe otherwise. So I've got 40 on that to win 88. And then Ben Taylor. I'm going back to him. He played really well last week. He putted pretty well, but he's those last three events, he struck the ball really, really well. It includes a T4, a third place, and a T21. So I'm hoping the good form continues there, and I got him at plus 180 for a top 40. So make the cut and play pretty well, and he'll bring me in 112 points. And then DraftKings has these, like, parlayed placement bets. So I went Cantlay top 5 and Cam Young top 10 at actually, like, should that. Be 10 points to win 110 because it was at 10 to 1. Yeah. But Cam Cantlay has been three top 10s in this event since the last 3 years. A lot of people are on Cam Young this week. I don't know if he gets it done, but he certainly has the firepower, the birdies, to be near the top of the leaderboard. So I figured I'd throw a little on that because I do think Cantlay, he had a pretty decent week at the Century. It was quiet because he's just a pretty quiet dude. But week off last week, he's playing with Xander for 3 days, comfortable pairing. I think Cantlay should kick off this year pretty strong here at the Amex.
So over to me, obviously – your Ben Taylor is now my Aaron Rye.
Mr. Leader.
Mr. Rye is not on my card this week. A little PSA as well. I do not know if these three course weeks are going to be good for me, to be 100% honest. I guess time will tell. But I have my card. I have Tony Finau to win. I honestly don't love that pick. I just can't get myself to pick a long shot. At least not yet. I was, again, looking like last week, but I just can't, like, but Mark Hubbard is not going to win this golf tournament. Like, it's just not going to happen. I mean, two starts ago, he got DQ'd. I don't see Mr. Hubbard going from a DQ to now winning tournaments on the PGA Tour. Especially
you'd be surprised.
With some of these big names. But, you know, I don't know why I'm criticizing myself. And then, Bob, notice the card. Ricky Fowler. The top 40 is my big play of the week. I have 20 to win 320 on Tony Finau. I have 50 on Mr.
Wow.
Flower to top 40 to win 130.
So basically what happens is if Fowler makes the cut, it almost hurts me. Unless he makes the cut and doesn't top
like 40. T55. He could very well. He could definitely be like top 10.
You're actually very right. T55 is very much in the cards for Mr. Fowler.
Yeah, but you know, the Tillery block is out. I do not think the Harmon hook is in right now. The swing video of Ricky, it looks so good. The funny thing about swing videos too is like Spieth's swing looked really good in the one practice video he got, and then he completely changes it, and Ricky could do the same thing.
Yeah.
But I think what people are also ignoring about Ricky is like he's been he's played pretty well before this week. Yeah. Like if you look at his fall, he has a T6 at the Fortnite, a missed cut at Shriners. A T2 at the Zozo, and he T34 at the CJ Cup.
Yeah, and he putted poorly there, right?
He putted horrible at CJ Cup. He's probably one of the best ball strikers in the field that week. He was a top 10 ball striker that week, but that's besides the point. So it's not just that swing video that's got me, like, thinking Ricky this week. Like, he's already been playing well. And then my last three bets. I got five this week. We are gambling here. Elise is a big friend of our podcast. She's been on here for a couple majors. She loves a good first round leader. So I'm thinking, how do I honor Elise this week? How about three first round leaders? Three. The only reason I actually did this is because none of the big names are starting at the Stadium course.
Fair enough.
Hmm.
And let it just be known that if you hit KH Lee first round leader, which I have now bet 2 weeks in a row, I would be very salty. very, very salty.
Well. So for the first round leaders this week, it's actually by the course they play. So I'm picking three guys to first round leader at just the Stadium course, not the other two. So I have Aaron Wise at 16 to 1, 10 on that to win 170. I have KH Lee, obviously, first-round merchant. He was close last week. That'd be hilarious, Bob. Bob nearly had him last week. Nearly. And if he would hit this week, that'd be glorious. So I have Wise, K.H. Lee, and Wyndham Clark. Bob loves Wise. K.H. Lee is a massive,
he's the man. I do love Wise.
And then
there's a really good chance one of those at least splits and gets you something.
If you look at the names, the favorites at the stadium course are Tom Hoge, who's obviously in form, and Sam Burns, who's not in great form right now.
Yeah.
So I like my odds. I was actually debating throwing some outright money on Wyndham Clark. I think he's a pretty decent pick this week with the form he's coming in.
The question is, will you get Bogey Hoge or no Bogey Hoge?
Exactly. If I get Tom Bogey Hoge, I think I have a decent chance. I mean, obviously at Pebble Beach last year, it was Tom, no Bogey Hoge. But we're hoping for a little bit of Bogey Hoge this week.
Tom, no Bogey Hoge at the Amex last year, right?
Yeah. He finished second, I think.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
I'm hoping for an off week for Mr. Hoge. He actually faded last week.
Yeah.
So
he was
I will not complain.
He tried to make a charge on Saturday to cash my top 10 bet. And then he faltered and he finished like T41 or something, but we'll see.
This like data golf page is incredible.
Hoge?
He's gaining like one shot per round plus for the last 10 tournaments on approach. He's lost strokes and on his short game like the last 10 rounds.
Jeez.
So Mr. Hoge, if he can get a short game, I mean he's a danger man.
Yeah. But, you know who's speaking of interesting data golf pages? Because I was looking for these bets. Patrick Cantlay does not finish outside of the top 10.
No, he never.
If you look at his past 12 starts or something,
it's he's got like seven of them are top 10.
It's it's maybe even more. it's crazy.
It's not even either top three. Like he is a T9 merchant.
Yeah, there's just so much green there,
and they're so always back doors.
Yeah,
he's really not in contention for most of them.
He's there. He just is so quiet that you don't notice him.
Yeah, he's never in deep, deep contention.
Like if he's three back with four to play, you might get an approach shot, but you're not walking down the fairway with Patrick Cantlay. You know,
it's funny you mention all the green, and then you look at the past 25 starts. There's what, seven tournaments with no green, and two of them are majors, and one's the Players. If that's not telling, I don't know it is, but maybe this will be Mr. Ice's year to finally. I mean, he just needs to get in contention at one of the majors. That'd be a good start, I would think.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. He was at the Tiger Major, the Masters, right? Like, I think he had the lead on the back nine for a moment.
A moment.
And then, then he bogeyed 17. Like, that was the chaos going down at 12. And Tiger had yet to birdie 13 and 15. So Cantlay was on 17 and he had the lead. And they were like, well, over to 17 now, where Patrick Cantlay is winning the Masters right now.
And then he
promptly made like four and then bogeyed the last or bogeyed 17 and bogeyed. Like he just crumbled. But
his best major was a T3 at the 2019 PGA. And we all know that he was not in the mix at the 2019 PGA because Brooks.
Well, yeah, that was Brooks and DJ.
Demolished everyone.
I mean, Spieth finished T3 that year, and he was.
That was the Grand Slam year. It should have been the Grand Slam year if he had any ball striking that week. Pain. I mean, that was one of the best putting weeks.
Yeah, no, it was. Ever. Yeah, probably was his best putting week.
Just wasted.
Yeah, that's so sad.
It was sad. He was making everything. We have a friend. Shout out to Nick if he's listening. we're in a group chat with Nick, and he occasionally will post a video in the chat of a Spieth putting stroke from 2019 at the PGA.
It's beautiful.
That is that stroke is exactly what Jordan's chasing right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get back to that.
I would love to see some Jordan Spieth walk-ins like Mr. Pompey does as well. If you've seen that video.
That'd be nice. But Mr. Putter is off to a good start this year. I mean,
yeah, I would agree.
We would have taken two, strokes gained in the green with the first two events, especially at Sony, where he just hasn't putted well previously.
Yeah, we need Mr. Irons to come around. But
That'd be
I
nice.
Think they will. I mean, we're 2 weeks out, but I have good feelings about Pebble.
I have a feeling Jordan Spieth will be an outright for at least one of us. That's just a...
Yeah. For what tournament?
Mr. Pebble.
Yeah, that's already basically on my card. I'll actually go type it in right now.
You can't deny the course history, and the signs have been too good. Yeah. But we'll get the
It's an unbiased pick, of course.
Yeah. I mean, there's
full reason, I think. Yes, there.
He's just so good after missed cuts, like in season two.
It'll be sad that we will not see the Spieth-Gretzky pairing anymore.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's not Spieth's fault. Not Spieth's fault.
He played with DJ last year, right?
No, DJ didn't play last year. He played the Saudi.
Oh, the Saudi. So who did he play with? Will?
Will we get to see Ryan Palmer shoot 80 again?
Oh, yeah. Ryan
Palmer. Oh, my God. That was
Ryan Palmer had a really bad day.
Ryan Palmer had three really bad days.
Oh, we'll get to see Brian Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Comcast.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that more than speed.
Yeah, hopefully they have.
I mean, Jake Owen. Remember Jake Owen at Spyglass was like just bawling out.
Yeah, hopefully they have the featured groups at Spyglass actually, because I think they only had it at Monterey and like they had cameras, but they didn't have like.
Yeah, it's always mad.
Pull the whole coverage.
You mentioned though, Will. He was supposed to play with Will last year, and then Will withdrew. Yeah, so I assume that as long as Will will play it this year.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true though, because Will's playing the Amex.
Spieth might just love playing with Ryan Palmer.
Oh, Mr. Connor.
Ryan Palmer still have a tour card?
Yeah. He was there last week.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I mean, he plays at Pebble just to play at Pebble. He is so bad. I got his page up right now. Like, it's
really
rough.
It's not good at Pebble.
He's played at Pebble like 15 times and his top finishes a T23. Oof. Like, dude just that's likes the good views, which I respect.
He just goes on a brief February vacation. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, I respect it. I mean, if I was him, I'd probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
But I think that's all we got for this episode. You guys got anything else that you wanted to chime in about?
I'm good.
No.
Daniel, any last words?
Props to Skylar Thompson.
Oh, yeah, for a little bit of football talk. Yeah, that would
I definitely think it was a worse weekend for Jordan. I was not affected that negatively by it because, to be frank, I didn't give us much of a chance, and it didn't really even feel like a playoff game to me because of how lopsided it was supposed to be. So I had no expectations going in. It was nice to have a chance down the stretch, but again, I mean, what do you expect when you get Brad Allen on the call?
The fix was in.
The fix was very in. But regardless, I mean, we would have got killed next week. We need a lot of things to go our way just to have a chance. I will denounce the Dolphins if Skylar Thompson ever starts another game. But he might be the worst rostered quarterback in the NFL.
That might be a stretch, but I mean,
I don't know if it is.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks, Dan, for keeping Bob and I's seats on the couch warm.
Yeah, welcome.
We're happy to be here. We stayed an extra week, but, you know, between Brad Allen and, you know, the Ravens was tough.
It's time to just face the fact that it was always going to be Bills versus Bengals next week.
Yeah, you know, the NFL loves a good storyline. It is what it is. The Ravens played hard. They covered the spread, so that's always good. Joe Burrow, again, another stinker versus the Ravens. He might be the new Tom Brady with his defensive capabilities. With that 98-yard scoop and score, the longest fumble recovery. It might be longest defensive touchdown in playoff history, maybe. But it is what
Brady,
it is.
Mr. Brady is done.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
No, I mean he's done for the season.
Mr. Brady.
That would be true. That would be true.
Mr. Brady will be joining us on the couch.
Mr. Brady tried his best on special teams this week. he's usually good on all three sides of the ball, but the offense wasn't there. which is go figure. Of course, the defense was shaky, but he played pretty well on special teams.
Yeah.
But, I mean, doesn't shock me that the offense wasn't there.
Yeah, Mr. Maher looked like Mr. Maher looked like Spieth putting in 22 from like 3 feet. I mean, everything was wide right or
correct.
Man. Lots of pushing and pulling.
Yes, exactly. Push, pull, push, pull. Well, it was push, push, pull, push.
I actually feel like a good way to end this podcast would be to give our divisional round picks. Since I came up with the idea, I guess I'll go first because I'm such a nice person. Buffalo, Cincinnati. Buffalo will win. The NFL wants Buffalo, Kansas City.
Well, they've already had Buffalo start selling tickets, right? So
exactly.
Yeah. So that
these two know that.
Yeah.
If you look into it,
it's very clear to understand that the NFL has a massive say in what happens in these games.
Yeah. Exactly. Kansas City is not losing to Jacksonville.
That would be chilling, though.
The Eagles will beat the Giants. I'm not saying that with full confidence, but I think that'll happen. And then probably the most, like, I don't know. Well, if people have a brain, they'll know the Bills will win. But the game that probably will be the most 50-50 is Dallas San Francisco. I'm picking Dallas.
That's an interesting pick.
I'm picking Dallas.
I think I'm riding with the Niners in that game. And I think
I'm with Mr. Dan.
Part of it is because Dallas has shown an ability to be consistently inconsistent. So Tampa Bay on Monday night, we're recording Tuesday night. So Tampa Bay Monday night showed what they had been all year, which is not very good because they were 8-9. Dallas had shown
led by a not very good quarterback.
We're 12-5. It's not true. But
that's very
Dallas. No, I disagree, but we'll get to that later.
Tom Brady is holding back the Bucs, but go ahead. Sorry.
I think it's Byron Leftwich. And well, again, another story for another day. But Dallas has had some clunkers, and San Francisco is rolling right now. So that'll be – that being said, maybe them boys are hot, and Kellen Moore designs another great game plan. I thought he had a great night on Monday. You know, anytime you beat Brady, you know, with Brady's defense, it's a good night. So we'll see. I think that'll probably be my favorite game to watch. But because I have a feeling Bengals-Bills is going to be a clunker. In theory, it should be good, but I think it'll be like 23-20. I don't know who's going to win.
Yeah, who's going to win?
Oh, yeah. No, actually, I do. Buffalo. Which that game should be at a neutral site too, if the Chiefs Bills game is at a neutral site. But anyway, Chiefs win. Jags keep it close for a quarter, and then Kansas City blows them out. And then, man, the Giants Eagles game will be good too. But I feel like a lot of people might be riding the Giants, so I'm going Philly.
Both are frauds.
Who?
Who, exactly?
The Eagles and Giants.
Oh.
Dude, the Giants are good. I think people...
The Giants are not good, but the Eagles
sleep on them, man.
I'm going to go with... Let me just check something.
I don't understand how the Giants can be frauds when they definitely overachieved this year.
I don't think they're frauds, but they did just beat a bunch of frauds in Minneapolis.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I don't think –
I'm going to go with – it's a toss-up. I'm going to go with who I think is the better coach, so I'm going to go Giants.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. I don't know what the spread is on that game, but I Giants plus the points seems like a decent bet.
Yeah.
If it's more than three, then yeah, I would agree.
It should be a good game. And the Eagles, like, when you haven't had that bye week before, sometimes the rust can sink in a little bit.
Thanks for the reminder.
So, right. Yeah. T. Brady has had plenty of those bye weeks.
Well, I was referring to the 2019 Ravens, but
Yes. Yes, that too. That as well.
we were about a 10.5 point favorite and lost straight up.
Thanks. Yep. Well, yeah, Derrick Henry was running roughshod.
Yep. Thanks.
He was like Rahm and Rory right now. Tearing up the world. They should have beat the Chiefs too. But alas, they fell to Brady anyway, right? So
Bob, Bills, Bengals.
We can end the podcast now because we all know what the results are for those last two games. It'll be a I'm sure Mr. DeMar Hamlin will be in attendance for the Bills, and I'm sure that the Bills will have some miracle go their way to make it look like stars are aligning.
That's a good call.
But yeah, I don't think Jordan called it last week that the Bengals would win and lose a player in the process in one of their alignment or in
Jonah Williams.
Yeah. So that was obvious. It's almost too obvious at this point.
The Bengals are going to be without their starting left tackle, their starting right tackle, and most likely their starting right guard.
But of course, they were not out against the Ravens.
Well, the right tackle and right guard were. But if you have, I mean, if you just use your brain, the Bengals are not going to win this game.
No. No, the NFL won't allow it.
Yeah, I actually brought it up real quick. And if when it indeed happens, and when Carl Sheffers makes a very, very interesting call in favor of Buffalo, just like Brad Allen did last week, you will know who to blame.
Correct. But I think that's all we have. So it was a pleasure. We will see you for Torrey Pines. We can do like an Instagram live for our picks. We'll take a week off from the podcast, I guess.
People want the picks. I mean, we're going to keep putting up the green numbers. Absolutely. So
I mean, people like
money.
So
yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate it as always. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Yeah. Peace.